We're going to focus tonight on Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Many years ago, I remember hearing people talk about a God-shaped hole that exists in all of us. A part of us that cannot be filled with anything except God. There was a time when I knew an emptiness in my life. And try as I might, I find it impossible to fill it. In fact, I found some days one of the worst days. It was a time when we didn't work on Sundays. And to me, Sunday was a boring day. It was a boring day because I did not know the God of the Sabbath that fills the Lord's day. And it wasn't just that. There were times when I felt deliciously happy. Times when I was on holiday, or about to go on holiday. I remember as a child once, we were about to go on holiday, and I was reading Paddington Bear. I was really very happy. But that feeling of happiness was illusory. I couldn't repeat it. It was just something that happened because of the moment. I can remember also after weekends in the country, returning to London and feeling depressed when I returned. I can remember the excitement of waiting to be picked up from school at the end of term, but then the great sadness of having to return when the holiday was over. As I grew older, I was determined to seek that happiness. And I remember at one stage literally living from holiday to holiday. No sooner had one finished than I was planning the next. And another symptom was I wanted always to fill my diary, not to have an evening when something wasn't happening. Looking for happiness that I could not find. The problem was that I was making happiness my goal. And it's rather like the gold at the end of a rainbow. Try as you might, you won't find it. And that's because we are not made to seek after happiness. Instead, the Bible speaks of seeking after something that will make us happy. And that something is mentioned in this verse. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The happy hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be truly happy and fulfilled. The problem with this world is the absence of righteousness. Every man is concerned, and by that I mean every person, boy, girl, man, woman, is concerned with himself, and it starts as soon as we're born. In Psalm 58, verse 3, we read, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Instead of seeking those things which are right and good, even a sweet, angelic looking baby will lie even before it can speak. Some babies will cry and cry. The mother tries to comfort the baby, but it continues to cry, and the poor mother can't get any sleep. So a decision is made to put the baby in another room until the baby cries itself to sleep. In other words, there was never anything wrong with that baby. It just wanted attention. And the proof was that when the attention wasn't given to the child, to the baby, it would give up and go to sleep. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that a baby will never have a genuine reason to cry. It just makes the point that even babies do not even always tell you the truth by the expression of their emotions. Because from the moment they're born, they will go astray. And when that baby does learn to speak, you will not have to teach that baby how to tell lies. Quite the opposite, because lies come naturally, you have to teach that baby, as we all had to be taught, to tell the truth. Can you remember your own mother telling you to tell the truth? I can. The reason for this takes us back to the garden and the fall of man. And that's why we read Genesis chapter 1. The Bible teaches that man was born perfect. If you go back to the beginning of Genesis, you will find the story of the creation of the world. It did not take millions of years. It took just 6 days. Some wondered why it took God so long. He could have created everything in a blink of an eye. But he chose 6 days, the working week, the week in which God worked. And on that sixth day, the last day of his work, he created man. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29, we read, "But God hath made man upright. He made man perfect, because he made man in his own image." Quoting from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So man was made perfect, and he was made male and female, just two genders. And at the end of the sixth day, God looked at his creation and saw that it was very good. There was no imperfection in it. Man lived in perfect harmony with God in paradise. However, man was given one commandment in the place where he lived, in the Garden of Eden. There was one tree the man could not eat of. Find that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And then in Genesis chapter 3, the following chapter, we read about the sad disobedience of Adam and Eve. The serpent, the devil, deceived Eve, and she took the fruit and ate it. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7 tell us, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." In just a moment, man had lost his innocence. And in that moment, he became separated from God, and in due course was thrown out of the Garden of Eden. And the sad reality is that this separation from God did not just affect Adam and Eve, but the whole of mankind. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, "In Adam all die, And in Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Why, you might wonder, did Adam's sin affect me? Well, it's the only sin that's been committed by a man that actually makes us all guilty. Every other sin a person will bear themselves, but this sin by Adam was, as it were, committed by us all. That's because Adam is the head of the human race. And when he sinned as our head. We were in his loins. And when he sinned, we sinned. In other words, if any one of us, in the whole of creation, any human being that has ever been born or ever will be born, if anyone had been in Adam's position, they would have done exactly the same thing. So that's why death has come over all men. That's why Paul wrote that all have sinned. All sinned in Adam. And that is a terrible truth. And it explains why there's an empty, God-shaped hole in all of us. And why from the moment we're born, we go astray from God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, Paul quotes from Psalm 14, verse 1, which we sang earlier, when he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. In fact, Psalm 14, verse 1 says, there is none that doeth good. So that to be righteous is to do good. And none of us do good anymore. The great tragedy is that there are many people who try to be good and try to be righteous. Quoting from Romans 10, verse 3, they go about to establish their own righteousness. They deny the fall altogether and think that they can present themselves holy before God. And if you tell them they're sinners, they are affronted, they are upset, they are indignant. There are others, say like me, who knew they were not righteous and just gave up trying, I regret to say. And such people will look for happiness, like I did, to escape the reality of their sin. They realize that they have no hope and are without God in the world. And that, for many, accounts for the extraordinary consumption of alcohol and drugs in society. People are looking for an escape, a nirvana, to escape the hopelessness of a world without God. I wonder if that chimes with your experience. Well, let's return to our verse. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we want true happiness, then the only way to find it is to find a remedy for the sickness that has come on mankind. Not just the paracetamol that will take away the pain, but to get to the root cause. But there is a remedy. When Adam and Eve were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, God made a promise when he was cursing the serpent for deceiving the woman, when he deceived her into eating the forbidden fruit. Genesis 3, verse 15, we read this. God speaking, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God was promising that one day the woman would bear a child that would defeat the serpent or Satan, and reconcile men to God, so that not all men would die in their sins. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his only begotten Son into the world. Fully God, who became fully man. Described by one as a second Adam to the fight. The first Adam failed. The second Adam did not. He came into this world to die for sinners, to taste death for every man, woman, and child that would believe in him. And he didn't just taste physical death, but spiritual death, punishment in hell. In those 3 hours of darkness that fell while the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Lord Jesus suffered eternal punishment for the sins of all God's people. As the Lord Jesus died, the curtain in the temple tore from top to bottom, revealing that there was now a way back to God for sinners like you and me. You see, the Lord Jesus had paid the penalty on our behalf, and his resurrection 3 days later proved that he conquered sin, death, and hell. Now, believing in the Lord Jesus is the equivalent of eating spiritually. John 6, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. See, when we believe, there is a spiritual hunger that is being satisfied. And we find ourselves being filled. You see, the Lord Jesus provides food for our souls. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You might have the most delicious meal. Eat of the finest fare. But if you only eat physical food, it will never satisfy you completely. Whereas the Word of God will. That will fill that God-shaped hole that is in all of us. So if we want to live a fulfilled life with purpose, indeed with a divine purpose, then we must come to the Lord Jesus and we must believe on him for the salvation of our souls and for the forgiveness of our sins. And that way we will get that spiritual food. In Revelation 2 verse 17, the Lord Jesus promises hidden manna to those who overcome. As we do the will of God, not our own will, as we live by the word of God, we will receive food for our souls. That empty hole will be filled. You may recall that after the Lord Jesus had spoken to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, the disciples went to the village to find food. And when they returned and they invited the Lord Jesus to eat, he surprised them by saying, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Verse 32. And then when the disciples asked him further about this, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So that God-shaped hole is filled by the Lord Jesus, when we believe on him and when we do the works that he's given us to do. And friends, he makes use of idle hands. When you come to the Lord Jesus, you're born again, and he has good works for you to walk in. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. A life of use, prepared by the Lord Jesus. It means life is worthwhile. We're not just getting up and doing our own thing, living for ourselves, living a life of enjoyment. So many others are. A Christian is given work to do by the Lord Jesus. It's work that has been planned before the beginning of time. Wouldn't you like to be part of his army? Part one of his people with a purpose that will fulfill you. Well, in the next chapter, the Lord Jesus teaches us not to be worried. Not to be worried about what we should eat and the clothes that we should wear. Matthew 6, verse 25, we read, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? How many people spend their lives worried about their lives, their everyday lives, worried about their jobs, worried about where the next meal is coming from, worried about paying the mortgage, worried about the just simple basics of life. Some people go to the extreme of even taking their life because they can't bear the worry. Friends, that's no way to live our lives, is it? And increasingly, if we don't have a faith and have faith in the Lord Jesus, those worries are just going to get worse, especially when you look around us at the state of our economy with no apparent remedy in sight. And so many people spend their time worrying, thinking about their bank balance. But the Lord Jesus tells us not to. Instead, he says this in verse 33, that we should seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. All the things that you need will be given to you if you turn to the Lord Jesus and seek first his kingdom and righteousness. And then you don't have to worry. The Lord will take care of those things. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, as we heard this morning. And we read this, again, we sang this morning, from Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young, and thou art old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. See, the righteous men in that psalm are generous and give to the needy, and the Lord will never see that generosity go unrewarded. We're reading through the incredible story of George Muller. He started life as an evil man, like we all do, and he went to extremes in his sin. And yet what's so extraordinary is that his heart was turned. He became a Christian, and he and his ministry to orphan children never made his needs known. And yet God met them. And I'm just going from memory, but there was a memorable day when there was no breakfast. And the milkman came up with a cart, and he had too much milk, and he left it with them. And the baker came up, and he had too much bread, and he left it with them. They all had their breakfast. See, friends, where are we going to put our trust? What kind of life do we want to live? We want to live fulfilled lives. Only Christ can offer that. And friends, to have peace in our hearts is the most valuable treasure that we can have in this world. And Paul tells us to make sure we don't lose it. We find that in Colossians chapter 3, as we will be closing shortly. In verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called. There's nothing like having the peace of the Lord Jesus. He says, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth thee, give I thee this peace. This peace is a peace that comes from God to the sinner who repents and trusts in Christ for his salvation. That peace is something that only God can give us, and we should maintain. And it is food for our souls. So to sum up, there's only one way to live a life with purpose and fulfillment, and that is by coming to the Lord Jesus, believing that he died for the sins of all God's people, that he rose from the dead on the third day, to seek after his righteousness, to hunger and thirst for him. That is